College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan, Sean and Tommy here. Evan will be back Monday. First time we get to hear him after two straight weeks off on vacation. Tiki taking a little three-day weekend for his anniversary. Look, it's the summer on the Fan, right? We're going to be interchanging. And that is the beauty of our show and why you should listen every day at 2 o'clock. You got four of us jabronis here. At some point, two of us are always going to be here, and that's how we get you through all the way to football season. So enjoy that. 888-808-1019. All right, so to catch up on the news of the day, if you're just getting in the car, heading out to wherever you're getting to on a Friday, we are waiting for Aaron Boone to speak from the New York Yankees. As the Yankees rolled out, and I felt last night this would be fishy because we saw the other teams roll out their starters, including the Mets. Sean Manaea is starting. The Yankees roll out their three-man starting rotation, let's say, versus Atlanta this weekend, and they are going with a bullpen game tonight, started by Ian Hamilton. After a week off for the All-Star game, I'm going to reiterate, or 5 days off, the Yankees are going with a bullpen opener game out of the All-Star break when they have, as Tommy counted to us, five starting pitchers. Max Fried, Carlos Rodon, Cam Schlittler, Will Warren, and Marcus Stroman. They're going to pitch Will Warren tomorrow, Marcus Stroman Sunday. No word on the Toronto series, which would make sense to start Max Fried and Carlos Rodon in that series. However, the pitcher pitching tonight typically would pitch in that third Toronto game, meaning is there something fishy, and we're awaiting word with Max Fried and the blisters. Could Max Fried be IL bound, of which the Yankees would need a bullpen game? And if he is IL bound, I don't know why that already hasn't been announced, because you could retroactive bring it back to Saturday, and that would make him eligible if he is ready to pitch the third and final game versus the Toronto Blue Jays next week. That would be 10 days. So something about this feels amiss, and if he is not IL-bound, I don't understand why Cam Schlittler, then, is not starting tonight. So that is story number one. Me and Tommy touched on that. We expounded upon that, or I guess we're more expansive upon it, to open the show at 2 o'clock on the Odyssey app. Rewind there. We have also talked about the Mets' expectations and what we expect here in the second half of the year. Brooks Raley is back in the fold out of that Met bullpen. Manaea on the mound in a big weekend ahead that it's almost like we sort of put pause on the New York Mets expectations and celebrate David Wright from a Met fan perspective. But don't get me wrong, you know, a couple bad losses to the Reds and we'll be screaming and yelling, and Tommy will be back with you Sunday on the Fan to talk about that. But it is a David Wright celebration. We've also touched on the fact that Tommy, I didn't know this pre-show, has been offered a free ticket in the Cadillac Club with some great friends, and he has left them on freeze. I don't know. I'll let you know tomorrow. And we've called in his Met fandom on David Wright Day to not do that. So we've taken some of your calls. If you are going to David Wright Day, please give us a call, 888-808-1019. And share some of those memories. Why are you going? All of that that's important to you. I did want to add this little piece of David Wright. What really sucks about celebrating, it doesn't suck about celebrating David Wright. He deserves to be celebrated. It sucks that he falls in a now growing list and long line of New York legends from their teams that ultimately got close but never won a championship with their team. Now, I'm going to eliminate Don Mattingly from this conversation because he only made the playoffs in his final year and all the injuries. But I'm talking about so close you could taste it. Patrick Ewing making the 94 finals. Jordan out of the way, Henrik Lundqvist getting to that Stanley Cup versus the Kings, some overtime game screwing him, and you have David Wright and the 2015 World Series and how different a guy's legacy can be if they win a championship. For a long, long time, and still to this day, Ewing, I think, is the pillar one that we always point to.
Yeah.
But I have to be honest, Tommy, when you think of the legacy of Hakeem Olajuwon, okay, and what a great player he was, and the fact that Ewing had to constantly go up against the Jordan Bulls teams. I also look at, you know, the fact that the Rangers never really took care of their offense in front of Lundqvist, and he was the one constantly carrying them. I actually think because it was the Mets losing to the Royals, albeit a Royal team that was in the World Series the year before, but that is not a legacy Royal team with a ton of legacy true players. I think it's not David Wright's fault. I actually think David Wright, of all of those guys in New York, it's the most heartbreaking one that he never won a championship.
Yeah, I think that when you factor in the fact that he had all those injuries and his career was cut short, and in 2015, obviously, coming back from the injury, and he wasn't the same guy, and he was, I want to say, like it was a Ray Bourque situation where it's like the older player as they're going on this kind of run, but that was obviously not peak prime and healthy David Wright. Patrick, to me, is number one for sure because of the amount of bites at the apple he had. It's not like David Wright had a million of them, the two collapses we remember, and then 2015, but again, coming back from injury, Hank got to a Stanley Cup Final. Where they lost to the Kings. And when you're the goalie, too, that's a little bit more pressure on you. But I think Ranger fans would all agree it wasn't Lundqvist's fault that they lost that series.
Sure.
They lost to, at least in my opinion, the better team. But when you look at Ewing, and especially when Jordan was you know, playing baseball, and you and the Dream is great, and the Rockets obviously went back-to-back, but that was the one right there where they could have won a championship, and that would have completely changed how we all feel about Patrick. And he's still beloved, and David Wright is still beloved, but especially in New York, championships is what really cements you, and it's how we separate, you know, the immortals from the great, from the really good to the good. It's unfair, but it's the way we sort of judge our players.
Yeah.
And for David, unfortunately, wasn't able to get that title, but he did stay his entire career with the Mets. Great guy. And for many Met fans out there, favorite player, the guy that you watched all those years, homegrown, wonderful person, big moments, the home run in the World Series, etc., carried himself like a professional. Nobody more deserving than this moment. And it's tremendous. And I'm glad that he's getting this day to be celebrated, and really all week.
And the biggest one is heading that way, and that's Aaron Judge, because he made a World Series and has not won. I think he would surpass Wright, Ewing, and Lundqvist as the biggest one.
For sure.
To touch it and not fully get there. But is David Wright actually because they lost to the Royals?
Well, see, this, and I argue with Evan on this all the time, and this is not necessarily positive Tommy right now or even negative Tommy. This is just 2015 Tommy. In my opinion, nobody was beating the Royals that year. They had lost the previous year to really Madison Bumgarner, but they lost to
like
the Giants.
Sounds like the kids
got
say.
To a game seven.
Good that, team. That's not an iconic baseball team, Tommy.
No, but they were a team that never say die. It was impossible. That lineup really won through nine. They had professionals throughout. They were never out of games.
No.
I remember that series against
the
Astros.
They're the Rip Hamilton Pistons that won it all.
I just think that they were a team on a mission that year, and the Mets beat a team in the Cubs that weren't ready yet. And I'm not taking anything away from the Mets. The Mets had a really, really great run, obviously, to the World Series, but I think we discredit the Kansas City Royals from 2015, and I have this fight with Evan all the time. I didn't think that we were winning that series. Losing to the Yankees in the World Series, even though it was the dynastic Yankees, hurt more to me as a Met fan.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I didn't think we could beat the Royals, but I just, that Royal team was
but
just,
Tommy,
you had to drive the stake through their heart. It was just impossible to beat them.
In hindsight, when we think of all these legends in this town, it's not, again, this is not an indictment, a negative on Wright. I do look at it and feel like, man, imagine David Wright. That was the path. You were playing the Kansas City Royals, had a World Series ring.
I know, but you keep saying the Kansas City Royals.
Another,
they were in the World Series the year prior.
Nobody's saying they're not a good team, but we're talking
about.
They
were a great team. They went to back-to-back World Series, and they won a World Series.
Tommy,
I know they don't have a rich history.
Tommy, when you're in hospice one day in your life, are you going to lay back and go, man, that Royal team's one of the great baseball teams of all time? No, you're not.
I wouldn't say one of the great baseball teams of all time, but I think that you're discrediting them by saying they're the Kansas City Royals when they were literally in the World Series. They could have even went back-to-back if it wasn't for Madison Bumgarner. They had an opportunity to go. Now, maybe they wouldn't have made the moves they made. They brought in, like, Morales and I think Alexi Ramirez in the offseason, so they made changes. But I think that team is overlooked, that Kansas City team.
Okay. You've seen Giants championships. You haven't seen championships from your baseball or basketball team. If the Mets beat the Royals in that World Series, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's live in that world. The Mets are world champions. That's David Wright's one ring. Is it even a question when you're asked tomorrow if you're going to David Wright Day, knowing that he helped deliver you a championship?
That's putting me in a... You're playing dirty there.
I'm not playing dirty.
Because I think that...
I'm playing radio host here.
No, let me be clear here.
My reasoning
for letting people know, like, I'll let you know if I'm going to the game or not, has nothing to do with David Ryan. It has more to do with my weird quirkiness than it does anything else.
As a diehard Met fan, if he gave you the one championship you saw in your life, was the captain of the team.
Oh, yeah, he'd be in a totally different conversation.
Can you go to... You want to go? David Wright, they got a free ticket. Are you even saying I'll let you know tomorrow knowing he won you a championship?
Probably not. But
thank you. That's my point.
But sometimes my weirdness has no bounds, so I'm not sure. But yeah, listen, obviously if that team had won and that would have been, 10 years, we'd be in the 10-year anniversary, it would be... But I still think that David Wright's career, and even a Patrick Ewing, still holds a special place in all of our hearts, even if you didn't win a championship. And David obviously wasn't the player that he was in his prime in 2015 anyway. And the reason they lost that series had nothing to do with David Wright.
Both lineups are out. I shockingly will have an issue with it. The first couple of your calls, 888-808-1019. Let's go Wyatt in Bergen County. Wyatt, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How are we? Sean, I got to say, you've grown on me the last 2 days.
Thank you, Wyatt.
So my 2 points, I am a 01 guy, so David Wright for me was kind of like my first sport hero. I remember that game against the Yankees in 06. I'm watching in the basement. My dad's going crazy. I barely remember. I just remember the excitement. And so I'm going on set. I'm going tomorrow. I'm super pumped. But my question for you guys is, who was that, and it doesn't have to be Mets and Yankees, but who is that sport hero that kind of got you guys into just following sports like that?
That's easy for me. Thanks for the call. I'll let Tommy go first.
Patrick Ewing.
I was going to say Messier for me.
Yeah, Ewing was for me. And those Knick teams when I was, 8 years old, obviously making the run to the finals. Patrick Ewing was larger than life to me. Madison Square Garden was larger than life. You got to remember, when I was growing up, the Mets were Lance Johnson, Bernard Gilkey, and nothing against these guys, Todd Hundley, Bobby Bonilla. So none of them really, and I love the Mets, I do, but if you're talking one player, it was Patrick.
Yeah, and look, you and I are close enough in age. I fell in love with sports first grade. My dad took me to a ton of Ranger games, specifically 93, 94. Like, that was my first, I'm going to Madison Square Garden with my dad. Yeah. I feel like a big kid, that's exciting. And then the team's really awesome. And then that becomes, you're allowed to stay up late, and I'm staying up late watching all those games. And I, as a sports fan, watching the captain of the Rangers score those 3 goals versus the Devils, I fell in love with sports through the 93, 94 Rangers. And then I parlay that love from Mark Messier to 2 years later, a Yankee dynasty starting, and then, by the time I get to 8th grade, Tiki Barber and the Giants are going to a Super Bowl, and then I'm in 9th grade and Jason Kidd and the Nets are going to NBA Finals. Like, the Mark Messier Rangers started all, so it's Messier for me. And that's exactly why, when I was offered a ticket the Mark Messier day...
Well, you didn't have to throw that part in. See, this
I didn't even hesitate, and I went, and I sat there, and I watched Jaromir Jagr score a goal in overtime to beat the Edmonton Oilers that night. People forget, not me.
But you're not a hesitator. You tweet out everything that comes to your brain. You answer text messages within 30 seconds, and you know me. I'm a little bit more methodical when it comes to decision-making, and I have time to decide. What do I have to answer within seconds? As a human, I have a chance to think things over.
Because it's somebody out of the kindness of their heart doing something they don't have to do, and you were rude. And that's fine.
Well, now I feel like I was rude. I didn't think at the time I was rude. I actually thought I laid it out perfectly, but now I feel like I have to unrude my rudeness.
I think we would agree I have more people skills than you. You were rude. 888-808.
Tommy!
Steve in New Jersey. Steve, what's up?
Hey, first of all, Bobby Bonilla is still a Met because they're still paying him, so you guys were wrong with that.
Well, what do you mean? Wrong with what?
Well, you guys said that former Mets, and Bobby Bonilla is basically still...
When did I say... hold on. When did I say former Met Bobby Bonilla? He was a Met, and then he left, and he went to the Marlins, Orioles, then he came back to the Mets, and then they're paying him still. It's that contract.
Steve, it's a really sad attempt to say he's a current Met because they're paying him still. What are we talking about?
But who said he was a former? I don't even remember us saying that.
Okay, Tommy, this is the reason I'm calling.
Yeah.
Number one, I'm willing to offer you, and I will Venmo you the money, $1,000.
Well, hold on.
For your seat in the Cadillac.
Yeah, but Steve.
Tomorrow.
I'm not at liberty to sell the ticket.
Listen, let me, if your friends permit it, and you can use it for your feeble excuse before that you're watching your weight, you can use it for your lap band surgery.
For my what surgery?
Steve, it's great. Lap band, that's, if you were actually fat, you would know what that means.
Ironically, an Ozempic commercial's on the television right now.
Shout out my people.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not at liberty to sell the ticket, but if you want to just Venmo me $1,000, you can. I'm kidding. You don't obviously don't have to do that, but no, I'm going. Like I said, in all likelihood, I'm going.
In all likelihood.
You still won't commit.
Did I handle it the right way?
I will say.
No pun intended. Probably not. Dude, not in hindsight, but you know.
And you can't sell your ticket to some stranger.
This guy wants it for a G on the air.
Pay me now.
You can't.
My seats were wonderful for the game.
But you also can't say you're watching your figure and not know what lap band surgery is. That's offensive to heavyweight people.
You think Francesco will be there? I could see that.
I said lap band surgery, and you thought of Francesco?
Well, because I just don't know. I wanted to...
Mike. That wasn't me.
Well, I heard the mic drop. I wasn't insinuating that Mike got what is it called? Lap band surgery? Lap band?
Not lap dance surgery. Lap band.
Okay, give it to me again.
They put a band, and they do a lap around your stomach, and it kind of shortens your stomach.
So you're less hungry.
Yeah, it's like a sleeve.
Sure.
And it works, and a lot of people do, and it saved a lot of lives. And it's really offensive, man, that you don't know what that is.
No, stop. I was going to make another joke there, but I probably should not. You know, I was going to say it was like a vasectomy almost kind of thing.
A vasectomy?
Well, vasectomy meaning like it's short, you know, vasectomy, yeah. No?
That cuts off sperm. Right. What are you talking about, dude? Well, lap band surgery is not
just, a vasectomy. I'm trying to catch up here. That's
you
all
are
I'm
having
doing.
A rough day,
I'm just
man.
Trying to catch. I really am, and I feel like I've really done a lot to change a lot of people's minds on the station, and we're kind of going backwards here a little bit today.
And if you, and really Tommy is in a full-blown mental blender over this situation tomorrow.
Connor, this is bad. And again, I just want to say, for anybody confused by what names you're hearing here, these voices sound like the sensible one today is Sean Morash. It's Tommy Lugauer, who has no idea what's going on, and comparing vasectomies to lap band surgeries to Bobby Bonilla Day. I don't know how we've gotten here, and I apologize to the audience, frankly. Pete, New Jersey. Pete, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up,
Sean, you've done a great job the last 2 weeks. Tommy, love you.
Appreciate
when you're on doing the loop hour.
Oh, thank you, Pete.
Wanted to bring up the CEO thing again.
The Coldplay concert, for anybody tuning in, yes.
The Coldplay, yeah. I think the number one reason we're into it is because these guys make so much money. They get put on a pedestal, and then they make a boneheaded mistake right in front of us, and we get to watch it, as you mentioned, in high def.
Yeah.
And it humanizes them.
It does humanize them. I think the weird thing for me, Pete, is we are sad, and we're all guilty of this, of loving watching other people's misery. Right?
For sure.
And anytime you see somebody caught in that spot, you're like, oh, it's so good. I think your thought is, it's so good not to be you right now, dude. You know what I mean? You always want to feel better about your own life.
Well, I think that's why people love, you know, Jerry Springer or Maury or whatever shows are still around now, because you're watching people that have lives way worse than you. Like, you might be having a bad day and you put that show on and you go, well, I guess my kids aren't that annoying. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's that one, though. I can't get over it. That is a story. You know, we were talking about the train wreck series earlier on Netflix, like that Balloon Boy and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that story at the Coldplay concert is 100% going to be a documentary somewhere.
Well, timing is also everything in life. You don't want to have that situation happen to you on a slow sports week.
That's
like,
true
there's not a lot going on in the world. I wonder if that happens during the before the Super Bowl, or there are a time period where things are a little more busier, kind of gets swept under the rug. It's everywhere, the story.
You're right. But it's still a life story where a lot of people don't care about sports, and it's everywhere, and it took over TikTok. You know, we may not be talking about it.
Right.
But, I mean, it was still going to be everywhere. Quick Met news. Max Kranick will have Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. That news coming from Carlos Mendoza. Jesse Winker and his back stiffness. He received an epidural today. He's going to be shut down for another week plus. So not good news on the Jesse Winker front. And Starling Marte is much closer to a return, but he is progressing slower than the Mets initially hoped. So not the best injury news all around, and that really sucks for Max Kranick, Tommy John surgery, but that is the updated Mets situation. Let's get to John in Garden City. John, what's up?
Hey, guys. Great listen today.
Appreciate it, John.
So I really want to talk about something with the radio call, but Tommy, as someone who has really good Yankee tickets, that season tickets that often when we don't go, you give them out, you almost don't care if the person says yes or no. What you care about is the quick answer so you can get on to the next person.
Well, that's why I said I don't want to hold you up.
I'll call you next week.
But that's why I say I don't want to hold you up.
Right. You don't want to hold anybody up. So that's the big thing is there's always another person to call. It's just you don't want somebody who's going to say, I'll get back to you tomorrow. So that's the one issue. But But here's why I'm really calling. And I'm not trying to be a mean person here, but I've
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talked to many Yankee fans, and I love the Yankees on the radio. Even though I have season tickets, when you're driving, if they're on the road or whatever, my kids, they've all, you know, baseball is clearly the best radio listen. I'm sorry, Ricky Ricardo is a great listen, and Dave Sims is boring.
Well, John, I love Ricky. I love Dave. Here's what I would say. Every baseball announcer has their different tendencies and their different ups and downs. I think Dave Sims does a really, really solid, good pro job. I think Ricky has that flair for the dramatic. They're different types of baseball announcers. And you got to realize, we were, for as much as many people wanted to make fun of and mock because he became like a fun character within the Yankees, could you imagine what it's like replacing John Sterling?
Oh, yeah. No, that's a tough act to follow.
It's because nobody's John Sterling. So Ricky Ricardo, well, I think he does a great job. I love listening when Ricky does games. Ricky has more of that like goofiness. Where Dave Sims is a real, not that Ricky's not professional, but bear with me here. Mm-hmm. He's more like straight down the line, you know, nuts and bolts. They're just different types of announcers.
Yeah, just
and
like
I think they both do a great job. And Emmanuel Baboria, I think, does a great job, too.
Well, Emmanuel, I'm not totally sure about that. I'm teasing because we know Emmanuel on a personal level. So I was messing around with Emmanuel. Emmanuel's
great. We don't know Ricky's on a personal level.
Well, yeah, but Emmanuel's more of our age. I feel like I could mess around.
Now we're talking.
Now we're talking. Every time I walk by him, I always say that. I'm like, now we're talking.
Yeah. Bottom line is this. We have depth here at the station in terms of Yankees play-by-play, and I think they all do a great job.
And so does Susan. By the way, I got to ask Susan a question about Broadway theater. So at some point here, I got to ask her a question about...
What are you talking about?
So obviously, you know, Susan's huge into Broadway, right?
Correct.
Okay. So my wife has this thing where I want to go see Wicked. I don't want to go see the movie. I've seen Wicked a couple times with a couple other girls. She doesn't need to know that, so don't tell her. But I want to go see Wicked with her. But her big thing is she doesn't want to see it anymore because it's not the original cast. So it's not Idina Menzel. So what I would ask Susan is that like... Is my wife nuts to not want to go see Wicked just because it's not the original cast? Like, how many Broadway shows have the original cast? Well, you're not going to see Hamilton?
Dude, just see the movie.
I don't want to see the movie over going to a Broadway show. Why the Broadway show's way better than a movie.
Why would you spend money, trek back into Manhattan, go to a theater,
into Manhattan? It's not Siberia. I'm not going to France. It's a 20-minute subway ride.
But you could sit on your couch and watch the movie. Who needs to go see the play anymore?
Because a movie is different than a Broadway play.
What do you mean?
Because a Broadway play is an experience. You go out for dinner beforehand. You get a little cocktail.
I thought you were trying to watch your weight.
Oh, Connor from downtown.
Well, and if you're just tuning in, and by the way, I heard from the family, they found this very hysterical today. They're going to probably call in at some point. One of the reasons why I was a little wishy-washy is because the Cadillac Club has a lot of, and it's a great setup. It's an amazing place to see a game.
I can't say yes to David Wright Day because I may get a free Twix ice cream bar. Oh, my belly.
You know, I'm a lean cuisine, and I'm trying to watch the weight a little bit here. I can't be put, and it all goes to the face.
Do they have Twix
look like
ice
a Lego
cream
man.
Bars there?
Some, they change up their... I don't want to speak on the Cadillac Club's behalf, but there's a rotating menu.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you all of a sudden an expert on the Cadillac Club? We've been there twice. What are you, like, you know, the rotating menu? I didn't even realize they had it. How do you know this? Is it because of our dear, well, a positive Peggy?
I know
Can
enough.
We say this on the air? She basically said that she's got...
She got a liquor cabinet there.
She got a liquor cabinet there, and she offered it up to me because she can't make it tomorrow. I didn't even know they had lockers.
Yeah. So, yeah. But look, bottom line is this. Back to that. Anytime somebody tells me there's a good book and you find out it's a movie or a show, anybody time somebody tells me, oh, you got to go see this Broadway show and you find out it's been made a movie, you watch that movie 10 out of 10 times.
You can't bring your wife out to a nice evening in the city, the greatest city in the world, Broadway. You go out to a nice steak dinner beforehand. You want to pop a gummy and turn on Peacock and watch Wicked.
Absolutely. I'll give my wife this, man. For as much as we laugh and joke and she doesn't love sports the way I love sports and she loves a lot of weird shows with people that were married to Jay Cutler that I don't love, the one thing we agree on is date night, no Broadway for us. Out.
Is it because of the kids have beaten you down in life?
Kids? This is before kids. I It's uncomfortable for me to watch people sing and dance on
stage.
I'm not a musical person. So let me see a good
musicals are different than regular shows, to be fair.
I'm not a... we got roped. I told you when I saw Wonka in the theaters and I found out it was a musical 3 minutes in, I wanted to walk out. Don't give me a musical. I'm not into it. 888-808-1019. We'll get into the Met and Yankee lineups. Continue to take your David Wright calls. And while Tommy is a bad Met fan, it's Evan and Tiki on the Fan with Sean and Tommy. Your David Wright memory calls as we get ready for the big day. Number 5. Going up at Citi Field tomorrow. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. It's Sean and Tommy here. If you're heading out to Citi Field real quickly, I'm going to give you the Met lineup. Then we have some Yankee news to get to here. All the lineups coming out as we begin David Wright weekend. Max Kranick, we do know, is headed for Tommy John. Epidural today for Jesse Winker. It's going to be another week plus before we see him. And while Marte is progressing, he's not progressing as quickly as the Mets had hoped. As for tonight, if you're on your way to Citi Field, Mets and Reds starting this post-All-Star break stretch, as the Mets have big, big dreams here. Francisco Lindor will lead off at short, so you do have to wonder if now this is going to again be this permanent thing in the second half. You shook up the lineup enough, team woke up, Lindor right back in the leadoff hole. Remember, Tommy, we had speculated whether the Mets would go back and forth.
Yeah.
Feels like they want to try to consistently go back to Lindor leading off. Lindor will lead off. Vientos, too, so they have... kept this separate, the top three.
I like it.
Soto bats third. Alonso cleans up. Nimmo bats fifth. Mauricio at third bats sixth. Vientos is the DH. McNeil at second will bat seventh. Tyrone Taylor is the center fielder batting eighth. Torrens catching batting ninth with Sean Manaea on the hill.
Let me just say this about the lineup here. I can live with Taylor and Torrens in the lineup, both of them in the lineup, because they're so great defensively if the other seven guys are rocking and rolling. Because Taylor is so elite defensively in center field. Torrens, it's a clinic behind the home plate. Both have not been great as far as with the bat in their hands, but I can live with that and live with the occasional hit from them because they save so many runs defensively, but I need the other seven guys in the lineup to pull their weight, not just the four guys that we have discussed at length.
Now, before I give you the Yankee lineup and the Yankee news, again, just a resetting of where we started the show and what the topic du jour was leading in right at 2 o'clock today. The Yankees are starting Ian Hamilton tonight in a bullpen game to start their series with the Atlanta Braves. The Yankees will then leave Atlanta and go back to Toronto for what will be a monster series early next week in Toronto. So the question arose at the top of the show. Why the heck are the Yankees starting a bullpen game tonight when they have five starting pitchers, including Cam Schlittler? Does that mean Max Fried's going on the IL? Remember that as I get to the Yankee news. Okay. Yankee lineup tonight. They are facing Spencer Strider, a right-hander, meaning they're going to load up on left-handed bats, which is, hey, that's Jason Dominguez's strength. Let's go. Perfect time. Let's bat him lead off tonight like he has been. Oh, no. Oh, no. Because Aaron Boone in the analytics department, again, just loves to throw a wet blanket on any Yankee fan getting excited. Here you go. Trent Grisham leads off tonight. Cody Bellinger will play first base and bat second. Aaron Judge will bat third in right field. Jazz Chisholm will clean up at second. Then Jason Dominguez bats fifth. Ben Rice will DH tonight and bat sixth. Anthony Volpe bats seventh. Austin Wells catches and bats eighth. Yorbit Vivas will be the third baseman batting ninth. I do prefer that over Peraza and Ian Hamilton to start. What the hell are the Yankees doing? Honestly, it's the first game out of the All-Star break. We have now accepted that you will not push Jason Dominguez to lead off when he's facing left-handed pitching because he's so much better from the left-handed side. There is no good reason why you've already basically done you-know-what in our Cheerios with the Ian Hamilton start tonight. That Jason Dominguez doesn't get the clean, fresh start versus a right-hander and leading off tonight. Now, fifth is nothing to sneeze at. Back in the day, somebody hit fifth, that meant a really big deal. Trent Grisham's got to... We got to have Trent Grisham lead off over Jason Dominguez, the guy who won't even be here next year. Please, we got to start the second half rushing Grisham back to that leadoff hole. What is wrong with this team and their books and everything else? Simple formula. Right-handed pitcher, Dominguez leads off. That's it. That's it. Why is he not hitting leadoff, Tommy?
Think about this. If you're a Yankee fan, which Sean is, You've been sitting here for the last, what, 4 or 5 days?
Puffed up a little bit. We gave a pass on those Cubs losses. We were fired up. They won those 4 games in a row.
Of course. I mean, obviously, had the Derby and the All-Star game, but you haven't seen your Yankee team in 5 days. You're all excited, right? This is a slow time of year for sports, the slowest on the sports calendar. Baseball's back, though. Second half. Let's go. Rah-rah. Excited. Ian Hamilton is starting a bullpen game, and Trent Grisham is leading off. I mean, what a way to just completely damper any kind of excitement other than the pie-in-the-sky optimist defenders out there, and there are some of them out there, but this is such a whimper to start the second half. It makes no sense, and it's like it's peak Yankees, and they never disappoint. They never disappoint.
There's no reason not to be excited tonight, right? You're coming out of there's just no reason. And they find a way to piss you off.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I don't want to be pissed off tonight. I don't want, you lose to the Braves, you lose to the Braves. Ian Hamilton starting and Trent Grisham's leading off versus a right-handed pitcher and Dominguez isn't? Why?
You just talked about, if you missed it, about maybe like 2 hours ago, you can go back on the Odyssey app, the rewind function. It's free. Jason Dominguez has been the second best Yankee over the last month, and you have a golden opportunity to bat him leadoff. Honestly, if you want to make him the forever leadoff hitter, I wouldn't have an issue with that.
I agree.
And I picked Paul Goldschmidt in our little pool there.
And look, he'll bat fifth and have some RBI opportunity, but you think about these games and trying to maximize at-bats. Evan's big on that.
Yeah.
I don't need to maximize Trent Grisham's at-bats. Now, Cody Bellinger hitting second, I'm fine with. I don't need to maximize Dominguez fifth, Judge third. You're not doing a good job doing that.
Yeah, and Grisham, who obviously got off to that red hot start, there's no way he duplicates that in the second half. So if you're Aaron Boone, I'm almost sitting there going, you know what? We got so much out of Trent Grisham in that first half. We should be lucky we even got that. Why would we push our luck and get this guy even more at bats and lead him off?
It makes no sense. And it's not like he's hitting right behind Judge and he hasn't even earned this yet, where you would think twice about walking Judge. But also, Dominguez hasn't earned that right yet either. Mm-hmm. Jazz is in between them. All right, now as far as the Max Fried news. This is driving me nuts because something isn't adding up. Something doesn't make sense. Max Fried, as we all know, had the blister. Okay, and he's had a history of these in Atlanta that we all now are getting a huge college course on. Max Fried's history with blisters. If you haven't played fantasy baseball, haven't paid attention to Braves baseball, all right? Max Fried has told the media, he is, quote, hopeful he can pitch in the Blue Jays series with his blister improving. But the Yankees are taking it day by day. He hasn't thrown a bullpen yet. But that is his next step. He did play catch since the blister popped. All right, so some of you might look at that and say, all right, well, that's good news. He's hopeful he can pitch versus Toronto. I would agree. I would want Max Fried and Carlos Rodon lined up because those are monster division games.
Yes.
However, the pitcher pitching tonight would be in line to pitch the third game of that Toronto series, and they're going with a bullpen game. However, on top of that, the third game of the Toronto series next week would also mark 10 days since Max Fried's last start. So I say that to say, if you placed Max Fried on the IL to get another pitcher up here, he would be eligible retroactively to return from the IL to start that third game versus Toronto. So you can accomplish everything you're trying to accomplish if you're the Yankees. Hey, we want Max Fried to pitch versus Toronto. He's hopeful. He still can pitch versus Toronto in that third game, which may be the most important game of the series, if he's ready to go and we get the extra roster spot. But yet, the Yankees aren't doing that. They're not going to IL him yet. They're going to play this game. And in the process, knowing that they have Cam Schlittler, Will Warren, Marcus Stroman, Max Fried, and Carlos Rodon. That's five. Yes, five starting pitchers that are, in theory, healthy if Max Fried's ready to go. They are pitching a bullpen game tonight. A bullpen game tonight. If the bullpen game is designed because you don't think you'll need it in the third game of Toronto because that is where Max Fried's going to pitch, then just put him on the IL. You could remove him for that third game anyway. I don't understand this process. And in the end, if you're thinking, well, if Max Fried's going to pitch one of the first two games in Toronto, then where is Cam Schlittler tonight? Or why isn't Will Warren starting tonight and Marcus Stroman starting tomorrow, and you kick the can down the road in terms of the bullpen game? I don't understand it. It makes no sense. And it's disheartening. You are 5 days off, and you hand your fan base a crap sandwich with Ian Hamilton starting a game tonight versus the Atlanta Braves. Any way you slice it, it doesn't make sense. If this is designed for Max Fried to pitch that third game in Toronto, then IL him now and just get another arm up here. Not that he has to start, but any extra help is anything. That Clayton Beter's carving a path. If he's not, and you're planning on starting him one of those first two games, well, then you're screwing yourself in a game tonight. They're mishandling the situation. And it might seem like a small thing, but every game matters, whether it's versus a National League team or an American League team. There's zero reason you have a bullpen game coming out of the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, listen, every game definitely matters. Obviously, you want to circle the Toronto series. I understand that because you're looking up at them, but let me remind you that the Boston Red Sox won, what, 10 games in a row going into the All-Star break. They are red hot. They have improved greatly since trading Devers. And all of a sudden, if the Yankees go on a little bit of a, you know, a funk here to start the second half, they are going to be looking up at not only the Blue Jays, but the Red Sox. So every game here in the second half is critical. Now, I wonder if Schlittler is the bulk guy tonight. Is he pitching after Hamilton? Is there any news on that? Do we know that?
Rosie brought this up to me in a break, and now you're mentioning this. If the plan tonight is to start Ian Hamilton to pitch to the first three batters in the Atlanta Braves lineup and then go to Cam Schlittler, the Yankees have officially gone mad. What did Cam Schlittler not accomplish in his first start in the major leagues versus a good Seattle team?
Yeah.
That means now you need to take his fast stuff and say, you're going to come in the second inning, kid? Like that. It doesn't make any sense.
Are they limiting his pitches? I'm just trying to get into the mind of
Brian
Cashman.
You limit his pitches, you let him start and go five innings, and then you go to Ian Hamilton.
I know, but they always, the Yankees love to be the smartest guy in the room.
They're not.
Cash.
I'll lose my mind tonight. If Cam Schlittler comes out of the bullpen in the second inning tonight after Ian Hamilton, I will lose my mind because it doesn't make sense. You could take your analytics and wipe your never mind. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I wipe my never mind all the time. What I would say is that the Yankees really, for a while now, but this season, they've put on a masterclass on how to mismanage injuries. Leiter, Schmidt, Jazz. Is Anthony Volpe hurt? Who knows? He might be.
They're sloppy with the
Freed now. They've been sloppy. They've been either overthinking or, like, honestly, some negligence with some of these players. And it's just, it's comical. You wait all this time, these couple days, to get back to the Yankees, and they're the same Yankees we left off with.
Think about taking 5 days off from the Yankees and going, and being okay with it. They lost the last two games to the Cubs, mind you. Yankee fans, I'm with you. I'm one of you. Think about taking 5 days off from the Yankees, and the first pitch you will see thrown today by a New York Yankee is by Ian Hamilton.
Crazy.
And the first pitch seen today in the lineup is from Trent Grisham versus a right-handed pitcher.
And I think the...
And you tell me, Yankee fans, why we overreact.
I think the bigger picture here and the bigger question is that the Yankee rotation has now become a major concern. You know no Cole.
Yeah, I don't trust it.
You know Clark Schmidt. Carlos Rodon.
I don't trust that Freed's not going on the IL.
Right, but even Freed, if it's a blister, you figure, all right, he's on the IL for just a couple of days, but now is that going to be something that doesn't rear its ugly head again this season? Heel, we don't even know what you're getting out of Heel. Stroman, Warren, like I said, Rodon, I wouldn't trust him in October.
Yeah, this I'm Yankee, higher on the Heel return than you are, okay, but I understand.
But the Yankees and Brian Cashman now have to start, because everything was about third base or bullpen arm. Do you start looking at the rotation now? If
you
they
might,
don't
I mean,
want
to
really hand the reins to a guy like Schlittler, do you start thinking about starting pitching help? Like, this rotation now is a major, major concern and question mark over the next couple months.
It's frustrating. Can I just have a nice Friday? That's all I want as a Yankee
fan.
Well,
I've been having a horrible Friday, so you should have a horrible.
And for the record, if you disagree with me as a Yankee fan, 888-808-1019, and the Yankees win this game tonight with a bullpen game and Trent Grisham hitting leadoff, good. I want them to win tonight. It doesn't mean that decision-making tonight is not madness. It means they got away with one, which sometimes and oftentimes the Yankees do.
It could be that they just have more faith in a bullpen game than anybody else they call up to start.
How could you have more faith in a bullpen game than Cam Schlittler? And the other problem with the bullpen game, Connor, is...
Well, they might just start Schlittler later on anyway.
Tonight?
No, I'm saying like later on down the road.
Yeah, no, I think they are. But my point would be, if you're saving him, Rodon, and Freed for Toronto, in any order... ultimately Freed's going to pitch that last game, then just put him on the IL and get the other roster spot going for another pitcher, because you might need more bullpen arms the next 2 days. You're starting a bullpen game. You have no idea the length Warren or Stroman are going to give you. They could give you six really good innings, or they could freaking implode right in the first. Those are the two pitchers they are.
Right. You have an opportunity here.
And I like what Warren's given the Yankees this year, but, you know, he's not consistent.
Yeah, he's hard to trust from. It's not Max Fried where you're like, all right, you pencil him in for seven innings. Same with Stroman. You're putting yourselves in a position here to tax your bullpen right out of the gate, and that's probably the last thing you want to do if you're Boone and the Yankees, but in all likelihood, that's what's going to happen. You're going to go into the Toronto series. You're going to go into next week with a tired bullpen, and we saw what Toronto did to their bullpen in that series in Toronto, so not exactly the greatest strategies coming out of the gate here.
One more thing in regards to tonight. Atlanta forecast tonight is a little questionable.
Is it?
So a little, some weather issues. Is there a chance that they don't want to throw Schlittler out there because he'll only pitch an inning or two if there's a delay?
I wish I had faith that the Yankees were smart enough to...
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Play that game. And yeah, we've had how many Atlanta weather stories with Met fans? I don't think that's it. I would love that for that to be it. But also, Atlanta is starting Spencer Strider in this game. It's their city. It's their forecast. And they're not starting a bullpen game. So it tells me...
Well, I'm sure if Max Fried was healthy, they'd be starting Max Fried tonight. The
no
Yankees.
Doubt.
So
no doubt.
I'm just trying to find a way like you to figure out why they're doing this.
The only thing we had a caller that made sense earlier is that we are going to be surprised this weekend with some kind of Suarez trade that involves Cam Schlittler.
Oh, that was Bruce and Flushing with the
Bruce
rumblings.
And Flushing.
Yes.
I also don't think that's it, but that would be the only justification to what's going on.
Yeah, I would be surprised if Suarez gets traded this many weeks out before the deadline.
I totally agree.
That one would stun
me. And also, like everybody killed me for saying I would make Schlittler untouchable right now over some of their other prospects. It has more to do with I love that 100-mile-an-hour stuff. You just talked about the starting pitching depth. You trade him away. What are you doing right now?
Wow. Schlitt happens.
Not even in that chair he does that. 888-808-1019. Ozzie and Woodridge. Oz, what's up?
Morash, take the wheel, buddy.
Just thinking and dunking down the field as the quarterback here, Oz. What's up?
Nah, a couple of things for riding shotgun again, little Tommy, and right point, if I may.
Okay, sure. What do you got?
All right, Sean, Tommy. Sean is not as big as an island. He's as big as a continent, bro.
Well, that nickname's already been used on this station, so I figured I'd go with Island. A little bit more could be Sean's nickname and Sean's nickname only. Is that fair?
Yeah, but speaking of continent, it's basically Sean is the reincarnation of Carlin. Like,
there are
doppelgangers. Like,
that's a
Sean
lazy
is
narrative.
Carlin 2.0.
That's lazy.
There are some physical similarities between the two.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
The high voice, the eight chins, you name it.
Leave Chris alone. You could talk about my chins. Chris doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, nothing about Chris, but I think Sean is, he's probably down to about four chins these days. Anyway,
yeah, I am. I had to eat him down to four. What else you got, Oz?
He lost his weight, but don't worry, he'll find it.
Oz, we haven't heard from you all week, so I hope you have more up your sleeve than that.
Well, you haven't heard from me all week because on the day of the Knicks press conference, you left me on hold to freaking die. It was 50 callers, and I was like, my time is a little bit more valuable than that.
Well, fair enough. Mine is too,
but
so what else you got?
Speaking of weight, Tommy, losing weight because you're buying a whole new wardrobe because you're a Minaj guy now?
You lost me on that joke. So I assume it was disrespectful and you're making fun of me. So, you know, next one.
How do
we're
you not know that Seinfeld reference? He
I don't remember
down
that one.
The Minaj with the roommate.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot that one.
Then I will have to buy a whole new wardrobe.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. That's bad. That's a bad job. I'm having a rough day, Ozzy, and that's even worse that I don't get. I'm usually great with Seinfeld references. That one I didn't get.
Yeah.
Oz, you went 0 for 2. What's the third point?
All right. Listen to me. David Wright is more like David Wrong. For me, he is the Tony Romo of the Mets. Tommy, you should not go to David Wright Day because he was the biggest choke artist as a Met that I have had in my life.
Ooh, Oz, thanks for the call. choke artist, he says.
Leave it to Ozzy to besmirch the great David Wright.
I knew we would get one today. I knew before we were off the air somebody would besmirch David Wright.
Yeah, and we discussed earlier about the not winning a World Series, you know, a championship. And again, 2015, David Wright coming back from the injury wasn't the star player on the team. He was more of like the grizzled vet and doing everything he could do to contribute to a team that was going on this really great run that they had. As far as being a choke artist, that's incredibly unfair. I've heard words get thrown out about like overrated, and he says that. I think every fan base has their right to view their players the way they want to view them. And I've already listed through some of the superlatives that makes David Wright so special. Lifelong Met, there aren't a lot of those. The captain of the team, we got to see his entire career. If you're around my age, a little bit older, there's just a special place for David Wright, his leadership, the kind of guy he was, the numbers he put up. And you know that if he doesn't get injured and he doesn't have such a debilitating injury, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And there's no shadow of a doubt that he would be the greatest, and I think he is, but the greatest position player. Some of you might think it's Strawberry. Some of you might even think it's Alonzo, but it's David Wright. And his career was cut short. But he's still a special person, special player, and deserves this special day. And I think any comparison, and by the way, not that I have to sit here and compare Tony Romo, but Tony Romo was a heck of a quarterback. He just happened to play the most unfair position in all football.
Sorry, I was
joking. Okay, but when you're the quarterback of the Cowboys, it's a no-win scenario. You have to win multiple.
You got that right.
Well, but come on, Sean, be fair here. You got to admit that
Tony Romo is one of the more overrated players in NFL.
Oh, see, I disagree from where he
and
was.
And one of the more overrated announcers.
How could he be overrated considering where he was drafted and the performance or the stats
you
or the
say,
numbers he put
you
up?
You can say he's a great story for where he came out of, but Tony Romo gets put on a pedestal like he's Eli Manning. Well, he can be every stat you want. Every time I look up at a big game, he's overthrowing somebody. Somebody drops a pass here. Come on. Hurt a ton.
Okay, but Peyton Manning struggled in the big game for a while.
Peyton Manning won 2 Super Bowls. Tony Romo had every chance in the world.
One Super Bowl Peyton Manning won, he had absolutely nothing to do with it. But then the one Super Bowl...
Tony Romo not scoring enough points versus the Giants in 07 is a joke.
And I don't want to sit here... I feel like I have to defend Tony Romo, but I think Tony Romo gets a little bit of a bad rap.
I'm so sick of people in New York acting like Tony Romo.
Probably
or,
a jealousy
know,
thing based
enough.
On his dating
history. Stop being
history,
scared of Cowboy fans.
Good-looking guy, whatever. Had a nice story, made a lot of money.
Yeah, I've had enough. Everybody needs to stop being afraid to tell Cowboy fans the truth about Tony Romo. Not a pimple on the arse of Eli Manning. Mark in Southern California. Mark, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen. First of all, Tommy, I got your back, man. I know you're having a bad day, but that's okay. We all get through this. When you picked out Patrick Ewing, mine was Walt Frazier coming up at the time. So I know that feeling of, and believe it or not, I was around the same age, 8 or 9. That's when they won the championship as well. So I get what you're saying. David Wright, more so, I can compare him to Larry Fitzgerald. Very well respected around his teammates. Everybody liked him. And even though their careers ended differently, but they both had very great careers. Sean.
Yeah.
You got to keep on these people. The Giants are far better this year than most people think, and I've said it many times already.
I think talent-wise, Mark, but you know what? They also have to prove it on the field, so I'm not going to get caught, you know, making an overzealous win prediction, but yes.
Right, for sure. But, yeah, Tommy, don't worry about none of them, man. The hell with all them people, man. I got you, brother.
Mark, you don't want to have Tommy, believe me. He's made a mockery of himself and Met fans today.
No, Biggie.
And it's been sad to watch.
No, I mean, look, I think I handled the situation, at least at the time, properly. And if you're just tuning in, I was invited to tomorrow's game and Sunday's game as well in the Cadillac Club with a nice family that I met. I almost feel like their adopted son here, you know, and Rich and Melissa and Constance. And they're wonderful people, Jersey people, Jet fans. So they've been through a lot. I wrote them back. They invited me and I wrote them back and I said, I can't make it Sunday after work and Saturday I'll let you know. I gotta weigh some things out. It's no biggie. I gotta see what's going on, you know, watching the weight, you know, maybe I got something going on with the wife. I don't know. Obviously I'm gonna be locked in for the David Wright ceremony in the game. I just wasn't sure if I would be able to get to Citi Field.
I wanna remind everybody.
And you gotta get there early for the ceremony.
Yeah, get there early. Tommy acts like he's rolling out of bed. It's 3:15 and he lives in Queens.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.